We can just close the show. Okay. Okay, Chavra. First of all, thank you so much, Yasher Koach, for coming. It's really, really exciting to see everybody here. My name is Avram Kenner. I work as a therapist in the Counseling Center. Hopefully most of you are familiar with the Counseling Center, but for those of you who are not, we're located on the fifth floor of First Hall, and we offer free and confidential short-term therapy, totally no cost, part of your tuition. You can always get in touch with us at counseling@yu.edu, which is a confidential line, and you could always, of course, speak to me or any of the other clinicians. And we're really excited to partner today with UTS and REITs. This is really something that's been a long time in the making, I guess. And I guess in short, today's event is really a humble attempt to bring topics about mental health more into the mainstream of our yeshiva as they relate to our emotional and spiritual well-being and really ultimately to our overall Avodas Hashem. You know, the Rav Soloveitchik would often speak of the importance of sharing our inner experiences with one another and not being bashful or shy, as the Rav said, in this regard, as our shared vulnerability facilitates our shared purpose of growth in Torah and Avoda. And that's why I'm so grateful to the Chevra here for coming out. And of course, we're all tremendously honored and grateful to introduce our speakers today, who need no introduction: Rabbi Blass, Rabbi Neuberger Shlita, each of whom have degrees or a license in mental health, but really sharing more from a rabbinical and from a Torah-based perspective, in a very Torah, maybe in the spirit of Torah Ramada of our institution, some halachic and hashgacha considerations on the topic of anxiety. I'm really grateful to Rabbi Boschnack for his help in making this event come to fruition, and Mitzvah Shem, we see this really as the first in a lecture series on various topics relating to Torah and psychology and mental health and so on. So the time is late, so without further ado, we're going to ask Rabbi Blass to share a few words.
Okay, thank you everyone, and thanks everybody for being here. I'll take an opportunity first of all to thank my colleagues and friends, Rabbi Boschnack. I don't know if you know him, because he's mostly in the world of IBC. An incredible person, incredible Baal Machshava, incredible Baal Eitza. Certainly, I hope that the Talmidim have a chance to take advantage of you. And also to my chaver and colleague, Rabbi Kenner, as well. It's hard to imagine someone who's better suited to be in the world of mental health in a place like YU, and we're honored to have you here on campus. And also a special thank you to Rebbe for many, many things. But certainly being a Rosh Yeshiva and a leader of Am Yisrael, but who always brings the sensitivity to mental health issues that are so critical for Rabbanim and for the community. And really, thank you to you. I was talking with Avram about this event. Are people going to show up? Are people going to come? I said, listen, you don't know the guys. You know, the guys, they come and they're thirsting and yearning to learn and to grow. And especially a topic like this that is so critical. And I would just say as a last piece of an introduction, you know, it's hard for rabbis to give short introductions. Usually the introduction is 20 minutes, but this obviously is just sort of like the beginning part of the conversation. Topics of anxiety and mental health, worry, both from a religious and mental health perspective, is something that we could spend hours and hours talking about. There's so much in the literature about it. One can put together pages and pages of Myra Makomos on the topic as well. But this is just sort of like a brief snapshot. And we all would love to sort of continue that conversation in different places. I want to just mention just four different thoughts that came to me really this morning and last night about, I guess, maybe like a hashkafa, so to speak, about anxiety. And the first piece of that, I guess, hashkafa, for lack of a better word, is the very fact that a person might say, well, why is everybody, you know, anxious nowadays? Is anxiety a new term? Were people anxious 50 years ago? Were our grandparents anxious? Or is this sort of like all like a byproduct of us being, what's the term my kids always use? Talk about people who are soft. What's the term? Cream puffs, whatever. You know, it's because we're a bunch of, you know, cream puffs. Is that the right word? Who just like, you know, are so in our feelings and therefore are always anxious. And obviously there are certain things about the modern day and age that might expand and increase anxiety. But it certainly is something that is not new, and it's something that Chazal took very seriously. Probably maybe the greatest demonstration of sort of the necessity of addressing issues of fear and anxiety, at least in my mind, is a very famous Gemara in Daf Kuf Chav Ches and Masechta Shabbos. I'm not sure if Rebbe, we did plan a little bit, but we didn't exactly plan 100%, where the Gemara says that if a woman is giving birth to a baby, even on Shabbos and Yontiv, so you can light a candle for her to have the light there in the room. So the Gemara says, well, that should be obvious that one could do that even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says that'll be true even if the woman's a suma. Even if the woman is blind, but she just knows that there's a candle there, or the Yisuve Daisei, to put her mind at ease. And there's discussion in Halacha whether or not one can do Havara Midaraisa, Midarbanan. But either way, the very fact that we're matir, lighting a candle on Shabbos or Yontif for a woman giving birth so her mind would be at ease, that is absolutely striking. And there's many comments in Rav Moshe also about different situations as well. So Rashi says, wait one second. Doesn't the Gemara say in Yuma that in order to be matir a person to eat on Yom Kippur, you have to ask a baki whether or not this lady has to eat or not? But in this case, we just say, based on her fears, that we can be matir a person to light a candle. Why do we not go to a baki as well or to a mumcha as well? So the Rishonim point out that the dangers around fear and pachad are far greater than the dangers around hunger. Right? That hunger is maybe not even as severe as far as what can cause damage to a person, doesn't even compare perhaps to a person that's in a state of severe anxiety, severe distress, severe panic, pachad, etc. That you don't have to ask a mumcha about. You just light the candle if that's what a woman needs. I want to mention another perspective, and this is just a great marmakum to throw out. There's a beautiful Barbanel in Parshas Vayishlach where the Barbanel says, Vayira Yaakov, that Yaakov was afraid and he was fearful of this confrontation, this epic confrontation with Esav. And the Barbanel goes on to say that fear is like a very normal reaction to situations. Right? If you have a person who's going into battle, the person who's going to battle, who's a gibor, says the Barbanel, is not the person who says, there's nothing to worry about, right? I'm heading into Aza, I'm heading into here, I'm going into battle, I'm not worried at all, there's nothing to fear, ain't no mavaldo, et cetera, et cetera. He says, that's not the gibor. The gibor is the person who says, there's a lot to be afraid for, and, you know, I could lose my life, and I may not get a job if I don't do well on this test, and the girl I'm dating might break up with me. I do have those fears, right? But I'm also able to process through them. I'm able to tap into faith. I'm able to, as the Barbanel says, able to tap into my brain to sort of process through that. Meaning the goal of life is not to live without fears and anxiety. The goal is to know how to manage that, but to give very real voice to, as we would say maybe in the rooms, to give space to that and to give validation to the fact that fear and anxiety is a very healthy response to life. And the response should be, well, I'm a Baal B'tachon, so I don't have any of that. That's not necessarily even a healthy and a supported approach. I want to mention a third issue. And this is something that one can look at many marmakomos about. The various ways that in the Chazal and the Rishonim and the Acharonim, that in their own way we're dealing with issues of what happens when a person is anxious. Now, I'm looking around this room. I know many people here have dealt with anxiety beforehand, so I don't have to tell you what that feels like. But anxiety is obviously fears that come about through this sort of the stickiness in the brain, right? Where all like the levers and all of the various machinations of the brain, where I just feel like there's so much going on and so much uncertainty, and this voice is saying this, and that thought's saying that, so I'm just feeling that feeling of everything getting like stuck inside of my brain. We all know what that feels like. And then when a person has that in their brain, they also can't sleep, and physiologically they don't feel well, and they're also stressed out, and they also start to lose their hair, and there's all sorts of things that happen when the brain is in that state of stuckness. How does a person resolve that? How does a person resolve that stuckness. And obviously, there's not only one response. The response is to allow for a whole, almost, as again, one would say as a therapist, like a toolbox of different options of how do I relieve that feeling that everything is getting stuck in my brain. That could be through breathing and meditation. It could be through disengaging one's brain to rationally think about its situation. So, for instance, when Reb Chaim was getting older and he started being confronted with death, and he realized there would be some fears around death, how did he deal with that? So he learned Oelos. About Oelos, obviously speaking about Tumas Meis. And he said his capacity to conceptualize death and what happens during death and Tumah V'Tahara allowed his brain to almost disengage from the stickiness. And then he could sort of reflect on what the experience of death might be like. And sometimes then to deal with anxiety is, let's sort of look at this in a very rational way, in a fact-checking type of way. Let's sort of analyze it to remove from that stickiness. There's an incredible gra that I've shown many, many of you over the years. The gra speaks about Rabbis Machshavas B'Levish V'Tzas Hashem Hitakum. That says when a person just has their own machshavos, I should, I shouldn't, I and you all know what that feels like. He says that all amounts to nothing. But if a person can attach and connect to the Atzas Hashem, which is, the Gra says, the Eitzah that Kadosh Baruch Hu places in the heart of every person, Hitakum v'tiskayem. Namely, we get into a very stuck place. And sometimes it's a question of, is there like a deeper knowledge that may be placed by Kadosh Baruch Hu inside of myself, where I can just sort of let go of what the brain is sort of feeding me and almost ask in a very internal type of way, what sort of is like my deeper ratzon? What might be the ratzon Hashem in that case? It's all these ways of maneuvering around or working through or elevating oneself beyond the stickiness of the brain that, again, Chazal and the Rishon Achronim all point to. Last I just want to mention is something the Rebbe and I were speaking about on the way in this morning. How does a person like navigate the world of anxiety? Assuming already that we know that it's something that Chazal speaks about, we already mentioned the Abarbanel that said that fear is a normal reaction to life. Anxiety is a healthy response to stressful situations. So how does a person then know whether or not this is just sort of normal stress, right? Or whether it is abnormal stress? There's a whole, as we know, continuum of different experiences, different emotions. When has something become problematic? When is something sort of not problematic in a way? So I would just say that when something has become problematic, I don't know how to emphasize this enough, there should be, and I can't just sort of figure what there should or should not be, because that doesn't speak to the place of the heart, no shame in seeking help. You know, if somebody ever, Chas v'Shalom, has cancer, or if a person needed a new kidney, nobody goes to a doctor with a real sense of embarrassment. You know, doctor, I don't know how to tell you this, but, you know, I have cancer and I need this. Like, nobody is writhing their hands in shame about it. But when it comes to a real, almost medical condition called addiction or trauma or depression or anything else, that sense that there's something wrong with me and that there's some inadequacy in me and that, and the shame around that, I deal, and I'm sure Rebbe does as well, every day with that shame of, like, what's wrong with me, right? If a person's feeling that, this is the way Kosh Baruch Hu created you. You know, we all have our own sort of stuff, and it's a mitzvah then. And it's the way that the Rambam says in Hilchos Nadarim and his Perish Mishnayos Nadarim and Perish Mishnayos Mesachim, that is a mitzvah for a doctor to heal a person. So too, it's a mitzvah for us to heal ourselves without a sense of shame and embarrassment around that. And we need help, so we need help. And sometimes help is just friends and people in our lives. Sometimes it's more than that. I guess I would just mention that maybe the cutoff line, and this is something that maybe Avram can speak to as well, is usually, as what is it doing to you in your life? Every person probably who's quote-unquote normal is going to feel anxiety about the MCATs. It's going to feel anxiety about LSATs. It's going to be getting a job. That's just normal life stuff. Every normal person is going to feel anxious probably before they get engaged, before they get married. Question is, what is it doing to you in your life? You know, is it causing internal distress? Is it causing challenges of moving forward? Is it causing a feeling of not being able to be present in the moment? Is it causing a
a whole host of other things in your life as well. You'll know that when you feel that. And when you feel that, when you just feel like I cannot shake what's going on in my brain, in my soul, my consciousness, then there's almost a chiyuv of saying, okay, where do I get help from, whether that is a Rebbe, a friend, a therapist, etc. And I would just say the last thing about anxiety, and again, Avram can speak to this more as well, to deal with anxiety is not something that a person needs 10 years to deal with or 5 years. It's almost like a matter of, can I get some good skills under my belt 7, 8, 9 times to sort of figure out what works for me, how do I navigate it? It's very intrusive into a person's life. It's also, among all the various issues in mental health, the easiest to deal with once a person sort of has skills, and then the rest of their life, they have those skills. They have the skills of meditation. They have the skills of detaching one's mind and having the wise mind to navigate one's life. And again, so encouraging of when you need that to seek that out. So those are the four things. Chazal sees this as a real thing, number one. Number two, the Barbanel. There's such a thing called real fear that's totally understandable. The Baal Bitachon is not a person that denies all of that. C, the stickiness of the brain and needing to sort of work through that, that Chazal and the Rishon Macharonim do talk about. And lastly, understanding when do I need to go to someone, when do I not need to go to somebody. And when I do need to go to somebody, to do so without shame, and to see that as a mitzvah. And the Baal Bitachon says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me in a certain way. Let me respond to that by finding the ways of taking care of myself. Without further ado, ask Rabbi to share some words. And we should have some time at the end if people want to ask some questions.
So let me pick up where the last left off, that there are two different worlds of anxiety. One is which requires intervention by a skilled professional, and one which, that's b'nei yeshiva, b'nei aliyah, we should be able to address ourselves, a chaverim, with a rebbeim, but should not necessarily require the professional skills or even the medications. And usually the test that most clinicians use, which I think is halachically valid, is that if a person finds themselves debilitated, if a person finds themselves productive, active, that their fears, their anxieties are produced and are able to push them to accomplish and to plan, that's very, very healthy. If a person finds that their nervousness, that the tensions hold them back from doing things, right? The same thing with the despondency, sadness, and depression. If a person finds that they are appropriately moved by situations to be sad and to be concerned and to be upset and to be nice about olacherim and to exert oneself to a greater extent, so that's healthy. That's all part of the way we live. But if one finds that one is not productive, that one's spending large amounts of time either sleeping or staring or surfing, things like that, so then that's a sign of that the depression that should be, one should seek some kind of intervention. And as Rabbi Blass mentioned, we understand now that there are two worlds, because there is a world of healthy nervousness, tension, ashrei odam mefachei tomid, umaksha libo yipul b'ra. Shlomo Melech says a person mefachei tomid, that's a good thing. Mak was the alternative of maksha of mefachei, maksha libo. He's insensitive, he doesn't really know what's going on. We all should be concerned and nervous about certain things. That when the opposite is being maksha liboy, being hard-headed and I have nothing to worry about and I have nothing to plan for and I just keep on going. And so that is a healthy form of pachad, if the reverse is maksha liboy. But if the pachad leads a person to continuously ruminate, not to be able to ever make it, this a person has to make a decision and they think and they work on it, they discuss it, and they make the decision, then that's fine. But if a person finally, if ruminating prevents the person from making, they look back and see a pattern that they did not do several things because they couldn't make the decision. They didn't break up and they didn't get engaged. And this happened several times with different people, obviously. And or they didn't end up going to a yeshiva because they couldn't figure out yeshiva. So that's a siman that my anxiety is of a different order, because it's not productive. It's not moving me to accomplish something. It's stopping me. And chemically, they're probably different. In other words, the scientists understand now that the brain emits or is sensitive to various chemical productions. When a person and that is associated with the more the debilitating. That's what Rabbi Blass was saying before, that we understand that debilitating sadness, debilitating anxiety is something that one goes to a professional for, because that's a chemical reaction, and hopefully we can deal with it without resorting to chemicals, but it's something to refer to resort to medications. But that's not what we're discussing now. We want to discuss the other side of healthy Ashi Od Mefachi Tomid, and what are the various tools that we have that the Torah gives us to be able to make one's concern and attention and anxiety healthy. Why is it more prominent now, more prevalent now than it used to be? I'm not sure. Obviously, the chemical end of things that we have to do studies and speak to scientists and figure that out. Why would it be that the healthy form of tension is greater now? I'm not sure. But it could be a combination of us, of your door, feeling more in control than you really are, and having expectations that are concrete expectations. In other words, for example, in my door, we knew we had a much greater sense of not being in control. My friends, when they didn't do internships, they didn't work with their resume. Once they graduated, then they thought about where they're going to get a job, right? And it'll work out. They'll get a job. Right? The idea of when your college years, organizing yourself so that you'll be in the best possible position, and the competition is so much more significant. So we didn't. And if we graduated and we didn't have such a good resume, we weren't considered to be negligent or sloppy. It'll work out. We'll get the resume together. But nowadays, when a guy graduates and he doesn't have a resume that is well polished and well filled out, so then you're looked at as being sloppy and being negligent. So that the sense of required hishtadlus has grown very, very significantly, and the how you envision how you're going to be successful is much more demanding than in previous times. In my time, success meant that you defined success very much in your own world. You define success based on relationships. And now, many of you define success as, how's my house going to look like? Which cars am I going to have? And I'm not saying this, I'm not on a rant. If you're honest, you'll listen to the Metzius. And what's my wife going to look like? And it's a much more concrete standard of what is a form of success. So these two things create a lot of aggravation, which we call anxiety. Anxiety for B'nai Torah is extremely important to address. And we see it because the Bria of the Ribbono Shel Olam and Torah have to go together. It's the same Bari Olam. So he gave the Torah, he gave us, he made us. So if it doesn't mesh together, so then that means there's a holding, there's something wrong. And what I said before, when anxiety becomes debilitating, it's a choyli. That's what Allah defines choyli as nafal mishkav. Defines choyli as being that one isn't fully active. So what I was saying before about the litmus test of what's considered to be anxiety that requires intervention, that's the way that halacha defines choli b'chlal. And for us, B'nai Torah, to be concerned about it, so it is for several reasons. Again, I want to focus on the healthy anxiety. Number one, because we always have to be misboinei. Where does something come from? And if we're disappointed and it comes from expectations that are placed upon us, then we have to think about those expectations. We have to think about that the Eved Hashem defines success and being a good Eved Hashem. And being a good Eved Hashem means that I the most important things are what I do, how I'm mishtadel, what I'm shayef, what I want, my yegiya. The a good Eved Hashem is not defined exactly what did I accomplish. It's what effort did I put into it. So that those are things that give a person accomplishment and simcha and accessible to everybody. But if one has concrete expectations, so then often you're trying to fit yourself into a square box, a round peg in a square box. So again, healthy nervousness, healthy anxiety means I'm misboining. I'm misboining. What can I do to accomplish? What can I? How can I go further? Where is this coming from? It's coming from a place where I'm gonna, which will improve my service to what? Service to what's the real? What are the real accomplishments in life? And there was an interesting Hamik Dover that after when Rachel is nifter, so two things happen. One is a word from Rabbi Yosher. It says that Rachel says Ben Oni, and Yaakov says Ben Yamini. So Rabbi Yosher says Rachel said this is a terrible situation. I just gave birth to a Yosin. He doesn't want to have a mother anymore. Then this person will always live with a cloud over their head. This child will always live in great deprivation. And Yaakovino said, that's the Zohar Yosher's word. He said, that's not how a person, that's not what's going to happen. Benyamini, I'm going to take this child, and I will take care of this child, and because of his needs, he will be with me at all times, and I won't let him go. So those are the two ways of dealing with despondency and anxiety. Rachel said, Ben, and you're very realistic. Very Elistic. But Yaakovino taught us, well, Yosher's Vart, that you can turn that around and make it into a commitment and make it into giving direction. There's a beautiful mitziv, which is the pasuk later, after Rachel dies, we're going to find the darkest day in Yaakovino's life, and his whole life changes when she dies. Because he's not going to end up bringing back Rachel to see his parents. He's not going to close the loop, so to speak. This will be a hole that will always be open in his life. Rachel and Yitzhak never meet. So it says, Vayisa Yisrael, and Yisrael traveled. Vayet Oloi, and he pitches a tent. Mehola Lemigdal Eder. So then I think it's the Netziv says that pasuk doesn't really explain much to us. He says, no, but Rachel, what Yaakov was doing is he was embracing the herigation that he was feeling then. He was feeling terribly, terribly sad and lost. So he didn't just move on and cover it up and let it go and let it linger inside of him and become a hole that he doesn't deal with. No, he took time to deal with it, to embrace it, to be mizboinen. And that's a healthy way of dealing with different kinds of irrigation. I want to finish up, don't allow me to say, but I'd rather listen and take some questions. But for me, one of the most insightful and instructive Ha'oris in this area came from Rav Aaron Kahn. Rav Aaron Kahn is one of our Rosh Yeshiva. And it's a chaval that he's not with us in campus these days because he is such a source of insight. And this will give you an example. This will give you an example of Rav Aaron Kahn's insights. He says, how does a person know if they are overly anxious about doing mitzvahs, overly anxious about being nichshol, or if they are appropriately Yirei Shemayim? How does a person know, maybe if he keeps on ruminating about, did he say Kriya Shema properly? Did he learn enough? Did he push himself? Did he daven enough Kavana? So at what point you say, this is a Ben Tayyar, the Ben Aliyah, this is a Gavaldika guy, he's going to become a Tzadik and a Kriya Shemayim? Or when do you say, this person is beating himself up unnecessarily, and this person is on a treadmill of aggravation. He's not really growing. So Aaron Kahn said, it depends when you finish the mitzvah, do you feel a sense of simcha? Because if when you finish the mitzvah, you're ruminating, well, maybe my Kriya Shema wasn't a Kriya Shema. Maybe I should have said Uchsabtem, and I should have stopped a second. Maybe I forgot to say, if you don't have a sense that I serve the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and I did a mitzvah, that is unhealthy anxiety. That you have to be mizboin, and you have to work with your rebbeim to figure, it's not debilitating, but it means you have to work in it. On the other hand, if before the mitzvah you were nervous, will I make zman, will I make zman? Right? Well, I would get my davening, will I have to do, and I made the zman. And I said, Baruch Hashem, I was kind of a mitzvah day rise because I made the zman. Right? And it could be that I wasn't so medacting on some of the deepak oasis, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that I did my best. And he sees my creation, he loves my creation. So then that's healthy. So if you have a sense of simcha afterward, so then you know that you're a ben aliyah and you reach great simchas. So those are just some ideas to healthy, unhealthy, debilitating, productive, ben oini, ben yamini, to be, as a ben Torah, extremely concerned about it, because if a person is anxious unnecessarily and is unhealthy, besides being a source of aggravation and besides being debilitating, it can chip away at one's ruchnius. And if you see others who are getting weaker in their ruchnius, something to bring to their attention as well, that they should think about it. And the importance of being mizboinen is, you know, I'm not a makshalivoy, I'm asher mefachi tomid. And thinking about where it's coming from, expectations, ishtadlus, and discussing that with chaverim, with rebbeim, in order to be able to come to a place of where a person feels the genuine simcha of the kirvus aleikim that's available to us.
Rabbi, if I can, if just heard, this was maybe just in like 30 seconds, and everything Rabbi said, of course, was on the money, but that nitziv also made me realize that sometimes there's a great value in just like sitting with one's feelings. You know, a person's having like a rough day, or they start to have cravings for food or for the computer or for something, and then I'm like, I need to like give into that discomfort. You know, I need to run because I'm uncomfortable. I have to, you know, I'm feeling anxious, and then I feel like overwhelmed or I can't function. I have to go, I have to run from somewhere. Like sometimes it's like sitting with one's feelings, not escaping from it, like being calm with one's own sort of soul a little bit, taking like a few deep breaths, letting things pass, reflecting on it, being misbehaving, as Rabbi said. Like we're so in reactive mode to everything that goes on internally in a whole host of ways. As opposed to training ourselves, can we sort of like calmly be misbehaving and sit, figure out what we have to do, who we have to talk to, what's sort of the best course of action. And that's so much like a part of like the key of like every sort of spiritual or mental health issue. It's something again that I think then it's points to and speaks to.